Hare Krishna. So today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna willing, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who's given us this golden opportunity in the middle of this dark age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the light has appeared to counteract the darkness of this age. And today we're reading from the fourth canto, chapter number 25. Is that correct? We have the marker. Here it is. Text number 62. And this happens to be the last verse of this chapter. But don't worry. Don't worry. The fun carries on. It's not the end of the pastime. There's many chapters to come in this amazing allegory of this King Paranjan. As we've heard many times already, that King Paranjan is none other than the conditioned soul trying to enjoy in this material world. In other words, me. When we say me, we mean all of us. We're all, to different degrees, Paranjan, trying to enjoy our mind, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the world around us, through the senses and so on. So this is the last verse of this chapter, which is like setting the scene, how Paranjan becomes entangled, as the jiva does in this material world, and the jiva comes into this world and is exposed to all kinds of sense objects. Prabhupada makes many times the point that if a living entity doesn't find satisfaction from a particular person, or maybe a husband or wife or whatever family, they look somewhere else for satisfaction. The living entity has to have an object. By nature, the living entity is anandamoya byasat. So by nature, we're looking for pleasure, the nature of the soul. So if we don't find pleasure here, then we look somewhere else. So the jiva, although you can say turning away from the object or the source of all pleasure, due to his own, you can say, at least in this world, our false ego of thinking that I am the enjoyer, that I can be the controller and so on, is then confronted with no end of, let's say, opportunities to identify with and try to enjoy. So this is the situation of Paranjan. He's wandering around trying to find some place where he's satisfied. He comes to the human form of life, and then the whole pastime unfolds. How his intelligence, of course this is the nature of persons in this material world, their intelligence is many-branched, unlike those who are Krishna-conscious. Vyavasiyatmika buddhira keya kura nandana bahushakaya nantascha buddhira vyavasayanam. That their intelligence is fixed on one point, but the conditioned soul's intelligence is never fixed. It's fickle, many-branched. It is busy trying to find some situation to satisfy the mind and the senses. Very busy, but it never happens. No matter how much we try, the living entity is constantly moving from one situation to another in the mental plane and the physical plane, and the soul inside as the passenger is helpless and being tossed around in this world. We get a situation which we think is very nice, and very quickly the situation changes. This is the nature of this world. So intelligent persons, yehi samsparshaja bhoga, dukkha yonia evate, they do not take part, they do not endeavor in this way for sense gratification. The so-called pleasures, the chapala shuk, the flickering happiness of material sense enjoyment, why they do not? Because they know that such pleasure has a beginning and an end. They know that such so-called pleasures are the causes of suffering. This is the nature of this world. It's a trap. Just like the rat Have any of you, maybe we can't remember when we were rats. Anyone can remember? What do they do to catch the rat? Or the mouse? What do they do? At least in the West, maybe here it's something different. Perhaps they put a chapati in there. But in the West, what do? Huh? Cheese. A nice lump of cheese. I'm sure you all like cheese. When the sabji is served, right? Just give me the curd. Curd sabji. It's no such thing as a curd sabji. Curd is not sabji. Just give me the curd. Leave the potatoes out. I don't want the potatoes. Give me the curd. We're after the curd. We're like little mice. Give me the curd. So they make the trap. One-way door. You can get in, but you can't get out. The mouse, you can see their noses going up and down. The little whiskers are flicking around. Slowly they're getting the direction. There it is! Jeez! It's just like a guy, you know, when he's mad for a girl or something. His eyes are popping, his mouth is watering, his mind's reeling, he's tingling, his hairs are on end, he's feeling ecstasy. This is it. And the mouse goes in. Go on, do it. Go for it. In it goes. The cheese. And as it goes in, the door clamps tight behind. He's trapped. Captured. This is the material world. Ah, look at this. Wow. Harry Ball. Hare Krishna. Look at those tissues. Extra soft. Super absorbent. Oh. Have you seen a tissue like this before? In the material world. No matter what it is, you know, somebody is captivated by this and that. Even the ugliest thing on earth, somebody is captivated by it. The cockroach is looking at that cockroach over there. Look at those legs. I've never seen such lovely legs. Jeez, I can't live without her. Going crazy. Isn't it? You can't imagine what it's like. This is the trap of Maya. Maya covers the living entity, so Paranjan is completely covered over, infatuated. What it means is his intelligence is lost, bewildered, contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached. Isn't it? Has anyone had that experience? And what happens when we become attached? Huh? What happens? What happens? Anyone read the Bhagavad Gita? Have you heard of the Bhagavad Gita? You heard of the Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Sorry? I don't speak Russian. Pardon? Lust. You want to enjoy it. I want it. Give it to me. It's mine. We want to enjoy it. There's nothing unnormal about that. There's so much you can say on this topic of Paranjan. And then when we try to enjoy it, what happens? Huh? Pardon? You may immediately become a little bit satisfied. I've got it. But how long does it last? And how deep does that satisfaction go? Sometimes it doesn't even satisfy you at all, even though you've worked hard for it. I remember one man in England, Indian gentleman, lived in Leicester. And he was mad. Madly in love with this girl. She was a very beautiful Indian girl. And he wasn't very rich, so he wasn't very much in line to get her. But he did everything he could to win her hand. He went to the priest, "Give me some mantras, give me some pujas." So the priest gave him some mantras and pujas, and took him 3 hours a day. And he was working in a factory or something. And most of his spare time was spent chanting these mantras and doing pujas. And amazing enough, after about 6 months to a year, somehow or another he got that girl. He was in ecstasy for one day. They say a king for a day and a slave for life. So he did it. But the priest told him, if you want to keep this girl, you've got to carry on with the pujas 3 hours a day. Ooh. And she, being very beautiful, was very demanding. Give me this, give me that, otherwise I'm leaving you. I want a new car. This is not good enough. This house is useless. Refrigerator, this thing, that thing, fur coat, everything. Give it me. So he had to work overtime. 12 hours, 14 hours, then come back and do his puja. And she would moan and groan. He had no time to enjoy sex life. Nothing. He could barely sleep. After a while he said, "My God, this is hellish. This is hell." He thought he was going to enjoy life to the full. But instead of enjoying life to the full, he became the fool. This is the material world. Welcome. Even the Beatles, no, it wasn't the Beatles, it was the Rolling Stones, wasn't it? The famous, they're still rolling and they're still stoned. But they sang this song, who knows it, who can sing that song? Famous song. Who's a musician here? What do they sing? Huh? I can't get no satisfaction. And they're millionaires. They've got all the girls on earth. They're still not satisfied. Okay, we'll go on to the Bhagavatam, which can help bring about satisfaction. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vipralabdho Mihi Shaivam. Sarva prakriti vanchita nichan anukrutyamya klaivyat krida megoyata. Translation and purport by His Divine Loving Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. In this way, King Paranjan was captivated by his nice wife and was thus cheated. Indeed, he became cheated in his whole existence in this material world, even against that poor, foolish king's desire. He remained under the control of his wife, just like a pet animal that dances according to the order of its master. That's very close to that verse we just spoke about, isn't it? What was that verse? Kama Esha Kroda Esha Rataguna Samudbhavaha Mahashama Mahapapma Vidyena Hir Vairanam. Very close. That verse spoken by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna explains, Arjuna asked the question, what is it that makes a man act seemingly without his... against his own intentions, practically, forcefully. What is it that makes one act in that way? You know, you sometimes your intellect, if you have any, or something within, conscience, something, says, don't do it. Don't do it. But still, we go there, isn't it? I used to be a student. Many of you may have been students at college studying. We used to go out drinking every night. Not water. You know, maybe you know what I mean. Some of you may have experienced. Orange juice. No. Not even Coca-Cola, something else. And we get drunk. Every night I get drunk. And then we go to the Chinese or Indian restaurant and eat. And I get sick as a dog. A dog? Why sick as a dog? I don't know. But anyway, sick. Vomiting. My false teeth would come out. I'd grovel in the vomit for my false teeth. It was horrible. I said, I'm never going to do that again. Next night we're there again. Same thing. Madness. Although it's sufficient experience, punapunas java to java, and we're still chewing the chewed. We don't learn. So nature is mitted. Why? Krishna said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And when we don't fulfill it, as we heard from you just now, you become frustrated, you become angry. When you become angry, what happens? Frustration and anger are just maybe different manifestations of the same thing. Mode of ignorance. When the passion's not satisfied, we generally go into the mode of ignorance. So what happens? We become bewildered, huh? We lose our memory. And then what happens? You're so overwhelmed with lust, you can't even care. You've lost your memory, although you had experience. You lose your intelligence. And you fall down. This is the nature of this material world. It's so powerful. Just look in this material, even Lord Brahma became captivated. The word vipralabdha is very significant in this verse. V means specifically, and palabdha means obtained. Just to satisfy his desires, the king got the queen, and thus he became cheated by material existence. Even Lord Brahma became captivated by Vak, his daughter. This, the Bhagavatam is full of these things, isn't it? Lord Indra, how many times before he learns his lessons? Isn't it? Chasing somebody's wife, this, that, the other. Never satisfied. Says, however powerful we are, the jiva's never satisfied in this world. When are we going to learn our lesson? You can never satisfy. The soul doesn't belong in this world. Many times this drama is there. I don't see it much these days. You don't see many dramas at all these days. We used to do the fish, you know this war, the drama, the fish out of water? You've seen it? How can a fish out of water be satisfied? Maya is always saying, come over here, fishy. Come, fishy. You can enjoy. We heard the other day, the fish on the hook. A nice wriggly worm. Ooh, look at that worm. And the fish goes for the worm. Oh! Oh! Ooh! Ooh! Stuck in the hook. And then the fisherman, Prabhupada said when he was telling this story, come on, fishy, into the frying pan. He's thinking like that. Again, all the living entities are caught like this. Human life, we can be caught in any way. The deer is caught by the sweet sound of the hunter's flute, the music, captivated. Also, later in this volume here, it describes how the deer, because when Narada Muni then starts to explain in more detail this analogy or allegory for King Pachinibhayashat's understanding, and Narada Muni explains how one is captivated. He gives the example of the mriga. Mriga means animal or deer. How the deer becomes captured. Because the deer is very captivated by the taste of the sweet grass. I guess most animals are. So he's so involved, so absorbed in that green grass. It's like in the material world, when we're so absorbed in something, we're, we become oblivious, practically, to other things. You're intoxicated, you know? You're completely infatuated. This is the word captured. The word captivated means captured. When you become captivated by something, we become captured by it. So the deer is captivated by that sweet green grass. Right? Just like sometimes we're captivated by the pizza or the gulab jamun or whatever it is. Sometimes we're captivated. You kind of go crazy. So that deer is absorbed in that grass. And the hunt, but he doesn't see that coming from behind is the hunter. In front is a tiger coming forward, time creeping up, and behind death in the form of the hunter with his bow and arrow. He's so captivated. People are intoxicated in this world by sense enjoyment, by the objects of the senses, isn't it? They don't even though they know death is coming, time is taking everything away, they don't care. They're trying to enjoy to the last moment. Isn't it? Right up to the last moment. Sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, it's like that. I remember one devotee, the night before he shaved up, said, just give me one more fag. And he was there smoking away. The next minute he shaved up. Last. Of course, sometimes we go back again. But that's another form of death when we shave our heads or take up Krishna consciousness. Civil dead men or women. So. Anyway, this is the captivation of this material world. It never stops, like that example, Akbar, wasn't it? Was it Akbar whose minister? He asked his minister, when will this stop? When will this captivation to the material world stop? And his minister said, it doesn't stop. Even up to the time of death. He said, I don't believe it. He said, you bring your daughter. I'm going to take you somewhere. The king's daughter was very beautiful. He took him to this place where this old man was dying. Bring your daughter. So the king, the minister, and the daughter entered the room. The old man was on his deathbed. His body was completely wrecked. And around him was the priest and the family members all crying and praying and this and that. But as soon as that beautiful young girl entered into that room, that man's eyes moved in that direction. His mouth opened, eyes opened, and he left his body. What a nice way to go. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Right to this, Prabhupada talks about how in Paris he saw 80, 90-year-old men going to the naked dances. What do they call it? The girls dancing naked in Paris. 80, 90-year-old men going there. Still not satisfied. This is the unfortunate and the captivating, intoxicated. I don't care about death. Let me enjoy my senses while I can. And then bang! It's like on the Titanic. Everyone's enjoying themselves, drinking away, dancing, isn't it? Then all of a sudden, bang! The invincible, the unsinkable, the unthinkable. It wasn't undrinkable. The Titanic hit an iceberg. And down it went. Thousands of people. Many of them were intoxicated. Drowned to death. Although he was not when we read it. Just as a pet monkey dances according to the desires of its master, we think we're independent, we're not. We're completely under the control of the modes of nature in this world. The king danced according to the desires of the queen. In Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 it is said, who knows this verse? 5.5.2, King Rishabhdev. Famous verse. Pardon? Mahat sevam dwaram ahurimukte tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Famous verse, huh? Very important verse. If one associates with a saintly person, the devotee, one's path of liberation becomes clear. So we've heard a little bit. I mean, on this verse we could talk. I mean, I don't think we could ever stop talking on this verse. It is just too much for one class. It is amazing purport. But on this particular verse, 552, Srila Prabhupada's quoting it here, how it explains that by association or service to a great Vaishnav, what happens? Ahurvi mukte. Mahatsevam dwaram, dwaram gate, the door. Ahurvi mukte, to liberation, freedom from this world is opened. This is the other side of the coin. However, tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Tamo dwaram, the gate to down, going down to hell. Hare Krishna. The gate going down to hell is opened if we associate yoshi sangi sangam. If we associate with person, now Prabhupada translates it to men who are too much attached to women or sense gratification. And that applies to anyone, of course. Basically, as we mentioned the day, Bhagavatam was spoken to men. But it refers to all jivas. So it refers to all of us if we're too much attached to sense gratification. Tamodwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. The door to going down is opened. Everything depends on association. We cannot stop it. Now I'm going to read something, and I do apologize because there really isn't time to cover all the points. This is one of my favorite parts of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the third canto, chapter 25. Who knows what that chapter is called? It's related to Devahuti, but it's not called Devahuti. Who knows? Chapter 25, third canto. It's a very important chapter. Every chapter is very important, but this is one of those key chapters. Just like the second chapter of the first canto, this chapter is corollary, very similar in its nature. Up and down we go in this world. And in this chapter, this is the beginning of the instructions of? Pardon? Of who? Lord Kapila Dev. Very, very important basic instructions on spiritual life. So Devahuti begins speaking. And I really don't want to miss this because it's really important. I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter of. So this is related to relation to service or hearing from association with great souls. Her son, Kapila Dev, of course, is an empowered incarnation of Godhead. And so she has no other shelter. Husband's gone, left. Amazing, huh? He had an incarnation of Godhead as his own son. And he immediately left as soon as the son was born. Amazing. Teaching by example, at least for the cultured people in society, we shouldn't hang around family life too long. Purpose of human life is to get out of this trap. Not to make the trap more comfortable. Religion nowadays is basically a facility to make the trap more comfortable. To provide better cheese inside the rat trap. That's all it's for. May the cheese be tastier. God, give me tastier cheese. That's all it's about. May I go to heaven and enjoy cheese longer and nicer. That's all they're thinking about. Basically speaking. Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Is that right? So there's no point. We don't belong in this material world. It's not our home. We're fish out of water. I am very sick, Devahuti said, of the disturbance caused by my material senses. It's a disturbance. Whirlwind. Whirlpool. Cool. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. The darkness or depth of ignorance. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance. Because you are the transcendental I, which by your mercy only I have attained after many, many births. You are the supreme personality of Godhead,
the origin and supreme Lord of all living entities. You have arisen to disseminate the rays of the sun in order to dissipate the darkness of the ignorance of the universe. So the devotees, they're like that. They're like the sun. They're bringing light into this universe, but people's eyes are closed. They're looking the opposite way all the time. We have to look towards those devotees. We have to take shelter of them. That will wake us up. We're sleeping. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur sing? Jeev jago, jeev jago, Guru chandra bole, Kota nidra jayo maya, Pishachira kole. You're lying in the lap of the witch called Maya. Wake up. She seems very nice, just like Putana. She seemed very nice. She's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Covered over, danger. Every step, danger. It looks nice. It's just like all the animals. It looks nice, that worm on the hook. Or that she-elephant. Looks very nice to the male elephant, but the she-elephant takes the male elephant down into the pit. This is the nature of the material energy. Until we wake up. Wake up, Jeev Jago. So this is the pure devotees. They've come to wake us up. The Shastras are here to wake us up. If we don't listen, we won't wake up. The process of waking up is to hear. Same thing with chanting. You can chant till the cows come home, or they may never come home. Chant, chant. Unless we hear, there won't be much change of heart. Take a long time. We have to hear. Simple hearing. Of course, we have to realize the text as well. But hearing is the beginning. We have to hear the subject matter. Be attentive. Be attentive. We're attentive to the sense objects, isn't it? When there's something that satisfies our senses, we're very attentive. In a few minutes, everyone will get very attentive, thinking that prasadam is being served. We're very attentive when it's an object of sense gratification or something to do with me. When someone starts talking about me, even if it's negative, my ears prick up. I can't prick them up very well, but you know what I mean. We become very attentive because it's something we're interested in. So when Krishna Katha starts, when we start hearing Bhagavad, oh, I've heard that before. Let me hear something different. What's in the news? Our minds, our intelligence is lost. By hearing, our intelligence is revived. We start to see things properly in proper perspective. We start to remember. We gain a little strength. Intelligence is very important. To realize that, you know, wait a minute here. I did that before. If I do that again, is it going to be any better? I didn't come to this Krishna consciousness movement because I thought I could enjoy more sense enjoyment. I could increase my material entanglement. No, I came here because I was suffering in the material world and I wanted change. And sometimes we lose our intelligence and forget. So we have to regularly hear. This is how we keep our intelligence in tune. Because we get out of tune. It's like a sportsman. If he doesn't regularly exercise, he becomes unfit. You have to keep exercising. It's not enough just to think that, you know, we can just depend on our own intelligence. We have to regularly hear intelligence from a higher source. Arjuna taught that in the Bhagavad Gita. Hear it from Krishna. This is higher intelligence. We have to hear from pure souls. Just like Devahuti, she's hearing from Kapiladeva. Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged in your maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily reactions. I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. This is a great statement. I just got stuck. That's not the great statement. Here's the statement. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. The axe. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists, and I inquire from you of the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. This is called intelligence. Srila Prabhupada defines intelligence in dozens of different ways. But basically it's based on this, of understanding things in proper perspective in relationship with Krishna. In terms of how this material energy is related to Krishna, how we are related to Krishna, how the relationship between man and woman is related to Krishna, how this material energy and spiritual energy can be engaged in Krishna's service. Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? Prabhupada said this, so many different ways Prabhupada defines intelligence. Learning or by experience, being able to know how to utilize knowledge. All these are various aspects of intelligence. Memory. Memory, of course, is also another function of intelligence. All these different aspects. In the Bhagavad Gita, intelligence is, interesting enough, defined in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna as a what type of quality? It's right there in this fourth canto of Bhagavatam how King Paranjan, intelligence was captivated by a woman. Because intelligence is actually a female quality. It's one of the lists of the, isn't it, mentioned by Krishna there. It's interesting. I'm not going to get into detail, I don't even know if I could, about how to define, how to understand it in depth. But it's described there in that way, as is here mentioned in the fourth canto Bhagavatam. The whole thing about being captivated by Paranjani is the one's intelligence, is loss of intelligence. Infatuated. The intelligence is infatuated with the sense object. And that applies to everyone. It's nothing to do with male or female there. Everyone's intelligence is captured by the sense objects. That's how it works. Entangled. It's like by nature of the prakriti, the female tendency is entangling us in this material world. So when our intelligence becomes like that, then we become entangled. As Paranjan is becoming very entangled. Then Kapila Dev goes on and explains how, well, he explains a bit about this yoga system and how we can become detached from this material. Then he comes to a very, very wonderful verse. And this is text number 20, if you want to find it. 25th chapter, 3rd canto. Pasangam ajanam pasham atmanakmayo viduhu saiva sadushu kutvito moksha dvaram apavitam. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. When we come in this material, we just got false ego, you could say. There's no entanglement as such. But because we want to enjoy, there has to be something to enjoy. So the material energy provides objects of enjoyment and we become entangled. Implicated in karma. We want to enjoy it, and then we interact with it, and then we create more interactions and reactions and so on and so forth and become entangled, tied up, bound up in the guna, the ropes of material existence. Karma bandhana. How to cut that knot. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Not a question of stopping attachment. It's not a question of stopping desire. It's not a question of stopping activity. It's a direction. Intelligence is the directional force. It's not something which is, you know, simply measured by material means exactly. It's what we do with data, what we do with the facility we have. When the intelligent uses it for the highest purpose. So the real use of our intelligence, of anything come to that, is to engage it or to connect it with those who are selfless souls or great mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord. Use our intelligence in their service. Use our intelligence for our higher purpose, going back to Godhead. Same attachment, same with attachment. You may be attached to something directed towards Krishna. Prabhupada even said, if you're attached to a girl, bring her to the temple. Bring her before the deity. Just like when Ramanujacharya was in Sri Rangam, famous Acharya of Sri Sampadaya. And he's going along the street with the Sankirtan party. On the other side of the street, he sees this man, and this man's quite a rich man, a wrestler. Usually called a wrestler, sometimes other things. And he has a beautiful girlfriend. And this man is not at all interested in the Sankirtan. Just like we go on Sankirtan, sometimes people don't, they're too much involved in other things, they're not interested. So this man, everybody else was captured practically by the Sankirtan. But this man was not. And what was he captured by? He was captured by his girlfriend. So Ramanuja sent one of his disciples over to ask him, what's going on over there? So the devotee managed to get his attention after a while, and Danadas said, Well, I'm captivated by my beautiful girlfriend. Why should I be interested in anything else? Just look at her eyes. Who has eyes like this? So beautiful. So then the devotee came back to Ramana. She said, please ask him to come and meet me. He said, ask him this question. If I can show you eyes which are more beautiful than your girlfriend's, what will you do? So the man, Dhanadas, said, all right, maybe I'll become more captivated by that object, or the person who has those eyes. Said, all right, you come and meet me here this evening at 6:30 at the temple gate. So he did. Dhanadas came and met Ramanuj. He took him inside the temple of Sri Ranganath. They went inside. It was just Archi time. They had no electric lights in those days. The deity was quite dark with some lamps. But then when the Archi is offered with the ghee lamps, many lights, the face becomes illuminated. So just at that moment, Ramanuj brought him into the temple room, and there was Dhanadas was looking at the face of Lord Ranganath. Suddenly he saw the lotus eyes of Lord Ranganath enlightened. His heart suddenly flew towards the deity. He realized that there is higher pleasure than material pleasure. By the grace of a pure devotee, this may sometimes be made possible. As in our case, or opportunity at least, Srila Prabhupada has given us this opportunity to experience his higher taste. It may take some time, but the real higher taste is there, especially dancing and chanting, kirtan. Prabhupada has given us this kirtan, this chanting of the holy name. People cannot understand how this kirtan is such a sweet taste. We're not on the platform of pure love, but even at our stage, there's a taste of bliss. Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami describes how anyone in the performance of Sankirtan can taste bliss. It may not be transcendental in one sense, but you taste ecstasy, which is far greater than anything else. Time and tide wait for no man. Then he goes on to describe the symptoms of the great sadhus. Oh my mother, oh virtuous ladies, lady, where is it? Here. One other verse, one to the right. Here. You must seek out the attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. It counteracts it. This is the process of devotional service. It's not just giving up the material world. It's Vishaya Vinivartante Niraha Rasyadin Rasajavan Masopyasa Param Drishva. It's to get the higher taste. We have to get that higher taste. Otherwise, we cannot give up this lower taste. It's not possible. We have to turn our intelligence, our attachments towards the great devotees and devotional service. On the whole, if one associates with a saintly person, a devotee, one's path of liberation becomes clear. But if one associates with a woman or with a person who is too much addicted to a woman, his path of bondage becomes completely clear. So it's just like that. Simply turn that switch. On the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. This is obviously referring to those who are men. That is what is meant by the order of sannyas, the renounced order. Before taking sannyas or completely renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. Sex life, Prabhupada, is interesting. Licit or illicit is practically the same. But through illicit sex, one becomes more and more captivated. So don't get too comfortable thinking that, oh, I'm married and I'm doing it correct. More or less is still the same thing, isn't it? Sex is sex, right? Isn't it? Of course, you could say the consciousness may be different. The purpose may be different. But still, the tendency is there. The danger is there. Of course, sex life, according to religious principles, can help step by step to free us, the whole system. As Baba says here, illicit sex, one becomes more bound up. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one will eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. Probably they're 50% liberated if you can become free of sex life. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. How one becomes captivated by the association of one's dear wife is explained in this chapter by Narada Muni, attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. It's the basic thing. This is such a big subject matter. So wonderful. One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness is in the lowest stage of life. Whereas one who is attracted by the material quality of goodness is in a better position. You can read in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna talks about intelligence and modes of passion, goodness and ignorance, and how it works differently. You can do your own homework in the Bhagavad Gita. This, of course, sometimes we see that when a person is on the platform of material goodness, he's attracted more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness is in the lowest stage of life. One who is attracted by the material quality of goodness is in a better position. This, of course, is for having an attraction for knowledge gives one the preference to accept devotional service. Unless one comes to the platform of knowledge, the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one cannot advance in devotional service. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, what does he say? Brahma-Bhuta. Anyone know this verse? Brahma-Bhuta altogether. Brahma-Bhuta prasaratma na shochiti na kanchiti. Samaksaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. This is where real joy lies. One who is on this platform actually can be happy. Therefore you have no attraction. When you're fully satisfied, you have no bother for other things. When you're satisfied in your devotional service, you will not be envious of anyone else, no matter who they are or what they are. Simple as that. Envy is another aspect of anger or frustration. You're not satisfied. So when we're satisfied in our devotional service, you're not envious. Even if a person's got 1 million disciples and $1 billion in his Swiss bank account, you're not envious of them. Because he's satisfied. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He's equally disposed to every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. One more paragraph. The platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a means by which one may come to the stage of devotional service. Of course, real knowledge is not just theoretical. It means with intelligence, like enthusiasm, endeavor with intelligence. It's not just passion. It means acting properly with intelligence for the higher purpose, the right purpose. So similarly, this knowledge is not really much use unless we know what to do with it. That's called intelligence. However, if one takes the devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. Confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:27. Who knows this verse? 1:27. Yeah, good. Very good. We must have a Bhakti Shastri student here. I think more than Bhakti Shastri. Are you Bhakti Sarvabhoma? No. Bhakti Vaibhava? Yes. He's a Bhakti Vaibhava, I think. Must be. Know what to do with this knowledge. Deliver the world. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Pajojitaha Janatya Suvargam Jnanam Chayarahoitakam. Devotional service automatically reveals actual knowledge of our material existence also. You have to know the enemy. We're not just blind. When you're going to battle, you also have to know the strength and weaknesses of the enemy. We have to watch out for Maya. Not that we're meditating on her all day long, but we've got to know, you know, what is Maya and what's not Maya. One who is sufficiently intelligent immediately attains the stage of renunciation of so-called society, family and love, as well as other things. As long as we are attached to society, family and love in the material world, there is no question of knowledge. Nor is there a question of devotional service. So you can see, understand that almost everybody is in avidya, they're all in ignorance, the whole world. What knowledge do they have of this? Their knowledge is all geared towards increasing family, society and love in the material world. By directly taking to devotional service, however, one becomes filled with knowledge and renunciation. In this way, one's life becomes successful. And one becomes freed. The many lifetimes, Brahmanda Bhamite Kom, Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, that the seed of devotional service is planted in our hearts when after many lifetimes we become fortunate, we get the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee, and by the mercy of Krishna we get a pure devotee by his mercy, the seed of bhakti is planted in our hearts. We just have to be careful that we water that seed by regular hearing and chanting and not associating with the material energy unnecessarily in a way that we again become entangled in this material world. Captivated by the objects of the senses in the name of being a devotee. This happens so many times. So be careful.
and no time for everything else. So many things could be discussed on this point, but we'll leave it there for now. Are there any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful lecture. I relished it very much. But I have one question. If Puranjana would have fallen in love with a devotee of Krishna, would it have been bad for him?
If a devotee falls in love with a devotee of Krishna?
Yeah, a woman.
Is it bad? Falls in love.
Yeah, and the other question is that to be called Mahamaya or Yogamaya?
Well, that will depend really on the nature of the relationship, I would understand. If the husband is, maybe just talking in a perfect or traditional situation here, if the husband is actually Krishna conscious or is serious about Krishna consciousness, then naturally the relationship will become more and more Krishna conscious and not perhaps so much dependent upon the material qualities. Again, it depends on the reason why one falls in love with a person. But in principle, if the husband is actually a good devotee, then there's bound to be good. There's going to be good if the wife stays with the husband. There will be good effect. There's danger there, of course, if the wife falling in love with the husband is a material reason. There is great danger, you could say there. Or if the husband, because the wife has so much, overly affectionate towards the husband, may also become captivated. So there's danger there. So one has to be very careful. It can be very good. It's like every situation. No situation's all good or all bad. It's how we make it, what we make of it. It's natural that one, especially for a woman, that she wants to have that, that emotional relationship with a husband. It's quite natural, or with a man. Everybody has an emotional side. With women, it's more tendency to be more influenced by the emotional aspect of our being, so to speak, in this world. The man, sometimes he can turn that off a little bit easier and just go on the logic and reason side, and therefore sometimes a bit more detached or a little bit more kind of hard in a sense towards the situation. Whereas a woman naturally needs that emotional relationship. In most cases, it's like that. So that's quite natural. So the husband has to, Prabhupada says, the husband must therefore be very careful to remain in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, if the husband falls into that emotional, passionate type of a mood, it's very dangerous. So if he keeps himself carefully in the mode of goodness, then the wife becomes also equally elevated or equally benefited. Sometimes it works the other way, that the husband is more fallen or more... So it can work both ways, of course, but as your question was specifically geared from the woman's point of view, yes, if the husband is more fixed in spiritual life, then it can be very beneficial, even if the wife is still maintaining material tendencies and material desires or material attachment to the husband. And there are so many examples of that. We heard the example, for instance, the other day in Varshana, when Sachinanama was talking about the Barbar, what was it, the Barbar? Barbar. The Barbar. He couldn't say the English word, the barber. He couldn't get it. He said, okay, hair shaver. The hair shaver. This hair shaver was madly in love with his wife. Crazily in love with his wife, the other way around in this case. But the wife left him. So he went crazy, huh? He's mad, running everywhere, going all over the place. But he knew his wife was a little bit inclined towards Krishna consciousness. He said, look, maybe she's gone to a holy place. So he went running off to Varshana or somewhere. Where'd he go, Varshan? Went running off to find his wife. His wife happened to have the name Radha. So he ran into Varshan. Radha, Radha, are you here? Where are you, Radha? Radha, 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 I'm going mad for you. He went running into Varshan, crying out like this for Radha. Well, he wasn't crying out for Radharani. He was crying out for his wife. But Radharani, hey, who is this? This person is completely loyal. They're completely mad for me. Lalita, go and check him out. Lalita went and checked him out and said, no, they're not interested in you, my dear. They're interested. He's chasing his wife. He said, no, no, they're calling in my home. They're calling for me. Bring him here. Bring him here. So they brought that barber there, and immediately the barber is seeing Radharani. Oh, he completely sold his heart, gave up everything. So like that. Yeah, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we all got mixed intentions, let's face it, isn't it? No one comes here. What have you come here for? I've come here because, you know,
I'm a pure devotee and I have pure loving affection for, you know, Krishna and Vatsalya Bhav or Madhurya Bhav. I've come here. And generally people don't join in that mood. They usually come, you know, in some ragged, miserable condition or some bewildered state of mind or something or another. And it just takes a little time. So we may, whatever situation, it could be the situation of marriage or any situation. And if done properly, it can help elevate both husband and wife and children and everybody in their spiritual lives. Everyone benefits. And there's bound to be a degree of material mixing there. Devotional service doesn't start off as Shuddha Bhakti. We work towards pure devotional service. It's bound to be Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Some mixture is going to be there inevitably in the beginning. But by proper association and proper regulation of that tendency, gradually we can become purified. It's difficult, but it's by a proper association, all of us can gradually become purified. Man, woman, it makes no difference. Everybody can become purified in that way. So yes, one hopes that one's husband is serious, and if not, then discuss it between each other, how we can actually advance in spiritual life, consult with other elevated Grihastha devotees who may be able to help us. I really recommend Grihastha devotees, when they have Grihastha challenges, to communicate this mainly with sincere, serious Grihastha devotees who have practical experience of these, of the practical needs, not just some philosophy which descends from another plane, but actually practical experience and know what it's like. It's very important, you know, that we do that. Grihastha counselors or whatever you call it. Very valuable. In association with those who are more advanced in spiritual life to help us to advance. Very important. Okay, and last question. Same question. Time for prasadam. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prasadam seva ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.